Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the weekend of August 23, 2020. This week's sermon, Lessons Learned. There's Much to Be Thankful For, by Kerry Yeck.
This morning, I'm quoting here, someone has said, as far as I know, of the 194 nations in the world, America is the only country on earth that has a special day set aside for its people to give thanks to God for all his blessings. Unfortunately, our nation has drifted from God so far that that spirit of thanksgiving has largely been displaced in America by a spirit of entitlement. A Christian psychologist and author named John Townsend has said, and I'm quoting, "Gratitude and entitlement cannot coexist in the same brain." Case in point, a few years ago, the San Francisco Giants Major League Baseball team was handing out gifts on Father's Day, and they were sued because they were handing them out to men only. The United States finds itself today in a cultural and a spiritual war. It's a battle between those who acknowledge God's goodness and his moral authority in our lives and those who disavow God, those who believe they are entitled to what they want. And we see this war taking place within our government, our schools, even in our churches today. It's been a rough 5 months living here in central Iowa. It began with the virus that had its origins halfway around the world in China and gradually spread throughout the rest of the world. It continued with protest after Memorial Day that ultimately in some places turned into deadly and violent riots. And then we got sucker punched a couple of weeks ago with windstorms that were like a hurricane, flattening much of the crops, damaging hundreds and thousands of homes, leaving without power hundreds of thousands of people in Iowa. I don't know, do any of you feel like you're tired? Just tired physically and mentally and so on. At 6'4", Abraham Lincoln was our nation's tallest president. By comparison, our current president, Donald Trump, is about 6'2", 6'3". It was Lincoln who once said, and I'm quoting here, "You have to do your own growing, no matter how tall your grandfather was." And what is true physically is also true spiritually. No one automatically becomes more spiritually mature just because their parents or their grandparents were. And if we're going to grow through all that has happened in our lives in the last 5 months, we're going to have to do so regardless of whether anyone else around us is. The famous English theologian and philosopher G.K. Chesterton once said, and I'm quoting, "Gratitude is the mother of all virtues." Chesterton was saying that negative, complaining people aren't going to grow up. If we're going to experience more joy and more peace, more patience and kindness and goodness, more gentleness and faithfulness and self-control in our lives, if we're going to experience those things, we got to first grow up in our attitude of gratitude. Because there's a direct correlation between how we think and how we act. So we're in the midst of a sermon series entitled Lessons We've Learned from the Past 5 Months. And today's message is entitled, We Have Much, capitalized, Much to Be Thankful For. I think that first thing we need to do is thank God for all of our blessings, all of them. And that begins with the blessings we take for granted. Scripture reminds us in several places that everything which exists belongs to God. But Scripture also tells us that our God is a generous giver. In the New Testament letter of James, the author pens this important truth: everything good and everything right comes from God the Father. John the Baptizer had said the same thing. No one can receive anything unless God gives it to him from heaven. And the Apostle Paul asked this pointed question, what do you have that you did not receive? And if everything you have comes from God, why do you boast as though it was of your own doing? I mean, here's the reality. We cannot take credit for how physically athletic we may be, how musically talented we are, how mentally intelligent we are, and on and on and on. We are the recipients of God's unbelievable blessings. We are blessed, all of us, to live in the most technologically advanced, richest, and still safest country in the history of mankind. We didn't do anything to deserve being here. We didn't do anything to deserve being born in America. The United States is home to only 4.25%, less than 5% of the world's 7.8 billion people. That's less than 1/20th of all the entire world lives here in the United States. We have access to the world's greatest healthcare system. We have food to eat, clothes to wear, a shelter over our heads, a car to drive. We have a military that protects us from foreign adversaries, police who desire to protect us from domestic terrorists. And in addition, we have a church family in which we belong and we can fellowship and worship together with. But we're not entitled to any of those blessings. They've been made available to us first and foremost through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the hard work of many who have lived before us, and the unfathomable generosity of our gracious God. I don't know about you, but in the last 2 weeks, man, I've come to realize that air conditioning and electricity and food and refrigerators and showers and flushing toilets are a blessing that we oftentimes take for granted. I don't know about you, but I wish I had a $5 bill when the electricity was off for every time I walked into a room, especially the bathroom, switched on and thought I was turning the lights on, and they didn't come on. It just happened. We do that all of the time. Or every night I lay in bed without air conditioning thinking, wow, I just need to go over turn the fan on. It would help a little bit, but couldn't do that either. Is it any wonder we are told in the Bible, I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing the praises of your name. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We give you thanks, our God, and we praise your glorious name. I don't know if you were able to see it this morning, but man, earlier on, it was such a fog, and it stretched over everything. And as we're coming in, it was like you could just see the tops of hills and trees, and that was it. And it was like we're in the heavens already. And God was giving us a glimpse of what that future eternity is going to look like. Every time we behold the beauty of creation and soak in the vast array of colors all around us, every time we hear the sounds of birds that are breaking the silence around us, when we can reach out and touch our spouse's face and enjoy the warmth of a human hug, we need to remember to thank God for the marvelous, tremendous way he's made us. Now, another area I've come to realize is we need to thank God for the prayers he's already answered. I mean, don't we all appreciate hearing thank you? Is it unreasonable for God to appreciate our thank yous as well? Lepers in ancient Israel lived hopeless lives. We can't even begin to imagine what their lives must have been like. Unlike COVID-19, there were no drive-through leprosy tests. There were no hospitals with equipment and personnel to care for lepers. There were no stimulus checks with which they could buy food, no promising drugs to cure lepers. Lepers were isolated outcasts. The rest of society chose to just forget about them. They were outside of town. That's where they belonged. So in Luke chapter 17, a group of 10 lepers made up of Jews, at least one of them, was a Samaritan, called out to Jesus from a distance. You see, lepers practiced social distancing long before COVID-19. Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on us. And when Jesus saw them, he didn't reach out and touch them to heal them. He didn't speak the words to heal them. He did something different. Now, when someone thought they were in remission with leprosy, or maybe even that they had been cured of it, the Mosaic law commanded them to go to a priest and have it verified. So Jesus told these lepers to go to the priest and verify their healing, even though he hadn't healed them yet. To their credit, they believed that if Jesus was sending them to have it verified their leprosy had been cured, they would do what he told them to do. And sure enough, on their way to the priest, Jesus rewarded their faith and healed them of this dreaded, cursed disease. And yet, you know the story there in Luke chapter 17. Only one of the 10 returned to give thanks to Jesus. And my goodness gracious, he was a despised Samaritan. For whatever reasons, and I'm sure there were many, the other 9 went on their way, neglected to give thanks to the one who made their healing possible. So when Jesus told the one who had returned, your faith has made you whole, we need to understand the other 9 had been physically healed as well. Jesus was saying, listen, your faith has not only made you physically whole, but you're spiritually whole as well. You've experienced spiritual healing as well. Gratitude is a sign of spiritual growth. All too often we come to God with a shopping list of prayer requests, when what we need to do, first of all, is pause and thank God for the requests he's already granted and already answered. Spiritual maturity is directly connected to our growing gratitude toward God. Thirdly, we need to thank God for the people who have blessed us. The Apostle Paul was committed to thanking those who had blessed him. The Philippian Christians had financially helped Paul on more than one occasion, and consequently he wrote this to them: every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. To the Roman Christians, Paul wrote, let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world. This 30 acres that we are privileged to be upon today was initially purchased from a guy named Bill Stolzman, who lives right over the hill there, 30-some years ago. And we leased that part of it back to him, and he farmed it for several years until about 3 years ago. Well, Bill stopped in last Sunday in between services here in the parking lot and just kind of caught up and said that he had gone over across the way to MCC. I don't know if you saw, there's lots and lots of utility trucks over there and workers who were using that kind of as their base of operations. And Bill had gone over there to talk to them and thank them for coming down here to Iowa. Some of them were from Canada. And he just wanted to go over and thank them for coming from Canada to help restore power to us here in America. I think that's kind of cool. Businesses often thank military veterans. Our church recently thanked our law enforcement and firemen in our community for their dedicated service. Whether it's utility workers who have been spending 16 to 18 hours a day to restore our power, or military veterans who serve to protect us from foreign enemies, or police who serve to protect us from evil people, firemen and EMT workers who dedicate themselves to rescuing us from difficult situations, friends, teachers, parents, doctors, nurses, the list can go on. We grow spiritually when we go out of our way to thank others for serving us and asking God to bless them for their unselfishness. We may do so with a verbal thank you, a card, a gift certificate, paying for a meal. I mean, the list can go on, but you better believe that we reflect the light of Jesus' love into other people's lives when we find ways to thank them. So we're going to grow up spiritually when we thank God for his goodness in our lives, when we thank God for his answered prayers, when we thank God for people who have blessed us. And then we need to thank God in all of our circumstances. Man, I know that's tough, especially when we look at the last 5 months. But Paul tells us this in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 19. Always, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Our joy, our prayers, our thankfulness to God, they don't fluctuate with our feelings, with our circumstances. You know, hey, it's good to go to God, man. He really blessed me today. No. When we consciously do what God tells us to do, even in the midst of our tough times, we see people, we see life in a whole new perspective, a whole new positive perspective. We obviously can't spend all of our time on our knees in prayer, but we can spend some of our time on our knees in prayer. We can pray when we're jogging. We can pray when we're swimming. We can pray any other activity because we don't have to pray with our eyes closed. We can pray with our eyes open. We don't need permission from other people. We can pray at work. We can pray at school because nobody can prevent us from praying. And I want you to note in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 19, Paul did not tell us to thank God for everything that happens to us, but to thank God in everything that happens to us. Evil doesn't come from God, so it's not like we need to take time to thank God for evil. But when bad things happen to us, we can thank God in the midst of those bad things for his presence in the midst of our storms, his power that helps us overcome our storms, and his purpose in our storms that results in our spiritual growth and praise and glory to him. I think one of the ways that we stifle the Holy Spirit of God is when we possess a negative, complaining attitude that fails to recognize God's presence, God's power, and God's purpose in our lives. Now, I'm not one to sit back and go, hey, hallelujah, thank you for COVID. Thank you for the riots taking place in our cities here in America, Lord. Thank you for that devastating storm that swept over us in Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana. We don't need to do that. God didn't tell us again to thank him for our circumstances, but to thank him in our circumstances. So in my circumstances, however bad they might be, I can pray something like this. God, I am blessed that you've promised never to leave me, that you have promised never to abandon me, that you are here with me right now in the midst of this storm. I thank you for that, Lord. I am encouraged that you have promised to help me conquer this storm, that you are accomplishing something absolutely positive in my life through this storm so that I can bring you the glory that you deserve. That's the kind of prayer that Paul is talking about. That's the kind of prayer that brings about spiritual growth in our lives others can see. That's probably been a couple years ago when I shared this illustration. I thought, man, I got to use it again. So if it sounds familiar, it really illustrates the point of what I'm saying here. In 2015, 80 of the most physically attractive women from around the world participated in the 2015 Miss Universe contest. At the end of that contest, Miss Colombia, Ariadna Gutierrez, was crowned the winner, and Miss Philippines was the runner-up. I don't know if you saw this live, but you can YouTube it. As Ariadna Gutierrez was accepting the applause from the crowd, she's about to begin her victory walk down the platform there. The host, Steve Harvey, comes onto the stage, and in what had to be the most awkward moment in all of beauty pageant history, Harvey had to apologize for reading the card wrong. Miss Colombia was actually the runner-up, and Miss Philippines was the winner. So how would you have responded in circumstances like that if you had been Miss Colombia, thinking that you had just won this contest? Would you be angry? Would you be upset? Miss Colombia won the respect, the outpouring of love from all around the world in a brief interview as she exited the stage. Miss Gutierrez thanked her supporters and said, "Everything happens for a reason. I'm so happy I've gotten this far. I'm happy for everything that I had to do to get here. Thank you for those who have voted for me." And while many fall short of reaching our dreams, I can't even imagine this young lady who thought she had achieved a lifetime goal only to have it snatched away 4 minutes later. Miss Ariadna Gutierrez showed the world it isn't what happens that matters. It's how we respond to what happens to us that really matters. And what does Paul say? Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. The things that happen to us are not always good, but God is. We decide in all of life's circumstances whether the focus is going to be on me or on God. If the focus is on me, then moaning and groaning will be a natural reaction. But if the focus is on God, I'm going to thank him for that situation, because in the midst of it, I see his presence, his power, and his purpose. Hilcorp Energy Company is one of the largest privately held oil and natural gas exploration companies in the United States. Hilcorp Energy. In 2010, the owner and CEO of that company, Jeffrey Hildebrand, decided he wanted to share the wealth of the company with his employees. And so he gave them a Christmas bonus of their choice. Hilcorp's employees could either select a $50,000 car or $35,000 in cash for their Christmas bonus that year. Tough decision, right? 5 years later, in 2015, the company doubled its output. So all 1,380 employees, regardless of their position in the company, regardless of their title, all of them received a Christmas bonus of $100,000 each. You can do the math. That's nearly $1.4 million. Is it any wonder for the third year in a row Fortune magazine named Hilcorp one of the, quote, 100 best companies to work for? Yeah, I can understand that. Amanda Thompson is a receptionist at Hilcorp. She told Fox 4 News in Houston, and I quote, "Some days I look down the hall and I say, man, I can't believe these are my bosses. They're the best. I can't help but give 100% to my work every day." Over 2,000 years ago, God gave to all mankind the absolute best of all Christmas gifts, his Son. Jesus Christ left heaven to live with us and die for us, so he could offer to us the mother of all bonuses, the gift of everlasting life. And furthermore, that gift is offered to each and every one of us, regardless of our nationality, regardless of our skin color, regardless of the things that we've done in the past, regardless of our position in the present, regardless of our status in the world's eyes, all of us have been offered that gift. And furthermore, he's promised us that during our time here on earth, whatever that amount of time is, he will be present with us through every storm. He will empower us to overcome our storms, and he will use our storms for his purpose in our lives to bring him glory. Is it any wonder Paul wrote, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift"? If the employees of Hillcore Energy can be motivated by a Christmas bonus of $100,000 to give 100% to their boss and employers every day, how much more ought we to give ourselves 100% in service and gratitude to the one who gave his all for us? Yeah, life's been tough the last 5 months. But sometimes we have to temporarily lose our blessings in order to fully appreciate them. We have no idea what trials and circumstances we may yet see in the next few weeks, months, or years. What we do have is this, an assurance from God that he will be there with us to help us more than conquer anything we face. It's good enough for me. I hope it is for you too. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your promises. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power at work in our lives. Thank you for your purpose, which includes using us, blessing us to be a blessing to others, to bring you the glory that you deserve. God, we thank you that in the midst of our storms, you're there. You've never left us, and that in the midst of our storms, we are more than conquerors through Christ. Thank you for our body of believers here at New Hope. God, I believe that you are even now doing something amazing among us, and we appreciate being along to see what that is. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.